Okay, we're beginning at the Mishnah on the bottom of Lamed Aleph Bet in the new Perek. Kol ha'psulim sheshachatu shechitatan sheira. Anybody who is pasul, meaning pasul for any of the other avudot, nevertheless, if they perform shechita, that shechita is ksheira. Sheshechita ksheira b'zarim. The shechita is permitted with zarim, non-kohanim, ubinashim with women, ubavadim, ubitmeinim, and even with avadim or tmeim, v'afilu b'kodshei kodoshim. Even when you're dealing with kodshei kodoshim, all of these people are permitted to perform the shechita, v'vad shloyu tmeim nogim b'basar. The thing you have to be careful about is that if it's a tmei that's doing it, that they don't come into contact with the basar afterwards, either because of the problem of chibat kodesh. Chibat kodesh makes it that you don't need the basar to be mukshar the kabel tumah, it can be mekabel tumah right away. So if they come into contact with the korban, they'll become tamei. Or the Gemara in other places notes that if you take the animal through the river before you bring it in for shechita, there's still water on it. That water will be mukshar the basar the kabel tumah. And so we worry about the tamei coming into contact with it. The Balei Tosafot note over here that shechita b'nashim is ksheira, says Gemara muchach the nashim shochatot afilu chatchila, that women are allowed to do shechita even the chatchila. And then he writes later on, mikan tshuva l'mashe katvu b'hilchot Eretz Yisrael. There was a sefer known as Hilchot Eretz Yisrael, which is quoted by the Rishonim, the nashim lo yishchatu mipnei shedatan kala. Over there, the halacha says that women should not do shechita because of da'atan kala, and the Tosafot responds to that and says that amongst the other items that are mentioned there, it seems that these are all chumrot. And here Hashem chumrot ba'alma she'omer oto ha'chacham she'katav halachot Eretz Yisrael. It was the author who made up these chumrot or was stating these chumrot, and it's not halacha lemaseh that women are permitted to do shechita lechatchila. In a little bit, we'll come back and discuss a little more in detail about the Tmeim, about what exactly we're speaking about. Rashi claims over here that it is Tamei Sheretz Kamar, speaking about someone who is Tamei Sheretz, because otherwise, if there's someone of a higher level of Tumah, they'll be Mitamei the knife, and then the knife will be Mitamei the Kodashim. The Rashi then says, O B'tamei Meit. Even if a person's Tamei Meit, but he's using Kagon Shebadak Krumit Shel Kaneh. He's using a reed, or very sharp item, not metallic in nature, and therefore it's not Mekabel Tumah, V'shachat Ba. And that way he does the Shechita. Fikach, Ein Poslim B'machshava. So here the Mishnah states the obvious, which is, if since they are Kasher the Shechita, their Machshava has impact. Just like a Kohen's Machshava with regards to the other Avodot impacts in terms of Pigol, in terms of Chutz L'Mekomo, or any other Machshava Psula, since these people are qualified to do this part of the Avodah, the Shechita, they have that same right, or they have that same ability to have a Machshava that would be Posel. V'kulam shekiblu et Adam, Chutz L'Zmano v'Chutz L'Mekomo, so any of these people that are Mekabel the Adam, they are disqualified. We'll see that in the Gemara, that Mikabala ve'ilech is mitzvah kuna. So they're all disqualified from doing the Kabbalat Adam. So here, the next part of the Mishnah doesn't necessarily need to be here, which is chutz l'zmano, chutz l'mekomo, doesn't really matter. Their Kabbalah is problematic, even if they don't have a Machshava. Even without that Machshava, there's a problematic Kabbalah, just because they are Zarim. They're not Kohanim. But nevertheless, what the Mishnah adds here is that, since they are deemed to be Zarim, their Machshava is not impactful whatsoever. In that their correlation between your ability to do the Avoda and your capacity to have a Machshava Poselet. So by Shechita, where you are Kasher to do it, then you can have a Machshava that is Posel. In a case where you are disqualified, like Kabbalah, even a Machshava Psula will have no impact on the Korban, because that disqualification eliminates your ability to have a Machshava that is Posel. As you probably are aware now already, we saw this Mishnah quoted extensively earlier in the Gemara back on Chavav and Chav Zayin. All of this should be familiar to you because they were bringing this in the context of the Machlokot over there as to whether Dama Nitan Shalovim Komo is Kim Komo Dami. You put Dama in the wrong place, is it as if it was put in the right place, or is it considered as if it is not in the right place at all? It's as if you spilled it on the ground. The Gemara quoted all this part of the Mishnah in order to try to reconcile with the Mishnah before, because it seems to be a stira to the Mishnah that we saw in the previous parak. So that is because it says, If there's still Dama Nefesh left in the Beima, we tell you to go back and do a new Kabbalah and then continue forward. Meaning a Kohen or somebody who is qualified should go back and do it properly and then continue on. And that was the steer to our Mishnah earlier on, which said it was Pasol. Didn't give you the option of rectifying it. And that was the different opinions that we saw there of how to reconcile between the two Mishnayot. Kibela Kasher, Venatan Le Pasol. Because Kasher was Mikabel the Dam, he hands it over to a Pasol, Yachzir Le Kasher. Then you return it to the Kasher. Again, this is something we discussed way back on Yudalit with regards to Holacha. Whether Holacha is, first of all, an avoda that is necessary. And number two is whether holacha without walking is considered to be holacha. And the Gemara there discussed this piece of the Mishnah, or what exactly happened over here. There were three different possibilities. One is it's masa itztaba, that the pasul did absolutely nothing. He just stood there, the Kohen handed it to him and took it back from him. The other possibility is that he hands it to him and he passes it forward to the Kohen again. And the last possibility was that he passes the pasul who was behind him, away from the mizbech, and then he brings it back to the Kohen, who's closer to the mizbech. Those three different options about how to explain this have impact on what you think about holacha, and what are the requirements of holacha with regards to both a pasul who does holacha, as well as to whether holacha, b'li halichat raglayim, or halachat yad is considered to be holacha. Kibel b'yamino, if the Kohen did the Kabbalat Adam with his right, Benatan l'smolo, then he took the kli and moved it over to his left hand, Yavzir l'mino, he has to return it to his right hand, because even though once you're done with the Kabbalah, you don't have to have it in your right hand, the problem is that you still have other avodot, including holacha, and the avodah of zrika, which must be done with the right hand, so he's got to return it to the right hand. Just putting it in the left hand is not inherently problematic. It is that he just can't continue to do any avodah if it is in his left hand. In addition, if he did the Kabbalah front in his left hand, we already saw in the previous parak, that is pasul. Can't do Kabbalah bismolo. Kibel b'kli kodesh v'natan l'kli chol. He did the Kabbalah to dam into a kli sharet, and then he switched it over to a kli chol. Yachzir the kli kodesh. Then he's got to put it back into a kli kodesh. Again, if he was mekabel the dam into a kli chol, it would be problematic. It would be pasul. It wouldn't work. You need to do Kabbalat Adam into a Kli Kodesh. But when putting it into a Kli Chol and then returning to Kli Kodesh, that would not ruin the Dam. Nishpach min HaKli HaRitzpa. This is in contrast to what we saw in the previous parak, which is here, if it falls on the ground after he's done Kabbalat Adam. This is as opposed to the scenario in the previous parak where the Shkita and the Dam went straight onto the ground and now he's trying to collect it afterwards. Over here, Basafo, if he gathers it up, kasher, because he had a kasher Kabbalah, and then when the dam spilled, that doesn't ruin the Kabbalah, he just simply needs to replace it and put it back into the Kli Sharet. On the other hand, if it went onto the ground directly from the Behema, there's a failure in Kabbalah, because it wasn't done directly from the Behema. In that case, even if you gather up the dam, it is pasul. Because remember, we learned in the previous parak, you need to do the Kabbalah to dam directly from the animal into the Kli Sharet that you're holding. Not to know, Agabe Akevesh, if he put the dam and did, instead of sprinkling it on the mizbeach, he put it onto the ramp, shelo keneged hayesod, or he put it in a place that doesn't have a yesod on the mizbeach, natana nitanim lamata lamalon, he put dam that was supposed to go below the chuta sikra, above the chuta sikra, betanitanim lamalon lamato, or those that were supposed to go above the chuta sikra, like the chatat beima and the olata ov, and he put them below the chuta sikra, betanitanim bifnim bachut, or dam that was supposed to go into the Echal, he puts on the Mizbeach HaChitzon. Ve'tenitanim b'chutz bifnim. Those damim that were supposed to go on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, he puts bifnim in the Echal. Yesh dam nefesh, if there's still dam nefesh left in the Beima, yachzor kasher v'yikabel. Then the kasher Kohen should go back and do Kabbalat Adam. As Rashi notes over here, we had two ways to explain this Mishnah. Isviralan, if we believe the pasul oseh shiraim, if someone who is pasul causes the dam to be made into shiraim, if he does rikat adam, then the remaining dam is all shiraim, and now it's a, can't go back and do it or do a do-over because the dam is rendered a shiraim. So ashmina naitana, tishlobim komo, labkim komo, domi. So then, if you believe that the pasul makes it into shiraim, then what the Mishnah is teaching you is that when you put it in the wrong place, that's considered to be the wrong place. It's not deemed to be a zrikat adam. V'fikach lo asan shirayim. Therefore, you didn't make it into shirayim. V'isvir alei shalobim komo kim komo dami. If you believe that when you put it in the wrong place, it's as if you put it in the right place, Fabila Zrika Gimura, Badam Pasula Smina De Psulo Seshiraim, then what's telling you here is that the Adam Pasul that did it doesn't make it into Shiraim. So Rashi correlates this with what the Gemara is going to say later on in Daf Lamed Dalet with regards to whether a Pasul makes Shiraim. If he does Rika the Dam on the Mizbeach, does he make the remaining blood into Shiraim? And through that, he correlates it with the Gemara back on Chof Vav and Men Aleph. But that means that he sees all of this as being one picture or one concept, that they're all connected. That which is stated in the Gemara on Lamed Dalet, that which is stated in the Gemara on Chof Vav. And now I have to bring them all together here in the Mishnah to explain the Mishnah. And truthfully, the Mishnah is Miduyak, that we're speaking about a Pasul, because it says, Im Yesh Dam HaNefesh Yavzor HaKasher VeYikabel. That the Kasher should go back and do the Kabbalah, implying that until this point, we were dealing with someone Pasul doing it. So the failure is not simply that a Kohen did it in the wrong place. The failure here is that a Pasul did that. That is a little different than what we saw back on Chaval, because there we saw that there was a possibility of explaining it about a Kohen, because you believe Shalom Vim Komo is Lav Kim Komo Dami. So even if a Kohen did it, it'd be problematic, because he did it in the wrong location. Rashi doesn't allow for that by incorporating the Gemara on Lamed Dalet. The Baal HaTosafot back on the bottom of Chof Vav Amud said that you do not have to do this. You can actually separate between the two scenarios. Ocha b'may skin and you have a pasul tema. Imken afinu natan bimkomo nami. If a pasul did the avodah here, why does it matter that he did it? Shelo bimkomo. You can put it bimkomo and it'd still be problematic. Yesh lamar, the high pasul, hainu tamei, da ari beila el. That the pasul we're speaking about here is a tamei. And therefore, if he puts it in the right location, he would be problematic, even though he is damei and disqualified. So you see here that damei has a different status, and that's how the Baal HaTosafot solved the problem over here by explaining that the pasul here is not any pasul that did it. It's specifically a pasul tamei that did it. And that's why you require it to be shelo bim komo. Because otherwise, bim komo, the tzitz would be meratzeh, and it would create shirayim, even though he's disqualified from the avoda. So even though it wouldn't work, and he wouldn't have a kosher korban, he's close enough to being something that is kosher that it will render the dam to be shirayim. And that way, Tosafot escapes what Rashi says over here. Rashi says here, you have to first determine whether you think a pasul creates shiraim and doesn't create shiraim. And then from there, you can determine what your opinion is with regards to bimkomo. Tosafot back there says, not necessarily. You can say that we're speaking about a tamei, and a tamei has a unique status amongst those that are psulim, that they generate shiraim, not because pasul generates shiraim, just because a tamei generates shiraim because of the tzitz being meratzeh. If you do that, then you can separate the scenarios here in the Mishnah from what we say later on in Lamed Dalet, and then you can explain this Mishnah like we did on Chof Vav, ignoring the fact as to whether a Pasul Oseh Shiraim or a Pasul Ein Oseh Shiraim. And you can see that similarly in the Shittim HaGubetzet Od Aleph, where he says, L'kach nirli, k'deparashi de'el v'per Kabbalah, d'koi apsul hainu atamei, d'baha mi'a kuliyam amodad Oseh Shiraim, ho meratze b'tzibur, k'ita b'me'ilo. And he does that to avoid the explanation of this Mishnah, making it obvious what the answer should be with regards to whether a pasul is oseh shiraim or not oseh shiraim. In essence, trying to separate the Gemara on Lamed Dalet from the explanation of this Mishnah and the Gemara back on Chof Vav. Oseh shiraim just means that whatever's left over then is rendered invalid or not usable for doing Zrikat Adam anymore. If it renders the remaining blood shiraim, then you can't go back to the animal and do a new Kabbalah. If it doesn't render it shiraim, then all the dam is still available to do another Kabbalah. So that's the meaning of shiraim over there. It has another meaning, which is shiraim, the leftover blood, after you do the zrikah, has to be put on the yisod mizbeach. The truth is, it means the same thing. It means dam that is not going to be used for zrikah. When does dam become shiraim, meaning that it's no longer qualified or valid to go on the mizbeach, is once some form of zrikah is done, the remaining blood is disqualified. The question here is, does this zrikah that we mentioned in the Mishnah render the other blood shiraim? So Rashi is discussing that because it says you can do a do-over. You can go get the other blood, which says it's not rendering it a shiraim. Question is why? And Rashi discusses that in the context of pasul oseh shiraim. The Baal HaTosafot eliminate that issue by saying that it's a Tamei who has a different status or a different din than all other psulim. The Gemara says now about our Mishnah, Shachatu di'avad in lechatchila lo. The Mishnah, the language that's used is kol psulim shachatu. If they did do shchida, shchitatan kshira, which is a language of bidiavad. If that was done, then we accept it. But that would imply that lechatchila we wouldn't allow it. Viraminu, is that really true? We have a brayta, but shachat shchita bizar kshira. The shchita by azar is considered to be kasher. Shashchita kshira bizarim ubenashim ubabadim ubetmeim v'afilu b'kodshe kodoshim. Because shchita is kshira by zarim, nashim, abadim, tmeim, all the people that we mentioned in our Mishnah, as well as the fact that it works by kodshe kodoshim. The truth is, the use of the term kshira isn't necessarily mean lechatchila. Kshira sounds like bidiavad. Generally, you would say that shochtin. You would use some other language that would indicate it, but nevertheless, you can see from the bright and the way it learns that it definitely means lechatchila. Or maybe shchita can only be done by kohenim. V'chim ha'ayim bato. So Gemara takes a step back and says, why would you think that kohenim have to do shchita? The word kohen never appears by shchita. And we already know the rule that in order for it to be an avoda that a kohen is required for, then you have to have the word kohen appear by that avoda. And we never have the kohen appear by shchita. So that's the Gemara's first question. Why would you even have a havamina to say it'll only be done by kohenim? Michlau shenemar, because the pasuk says, V'atav v'necha itecha tishmeru et kehunatchem v'chol davar ha-mizbeach. So in Korach, when it speaks about the jobs of the Kohanim, it says that anything related to the Mizbeach, you and your sons will take care of. Sounds like the Kohanim are required for any avodah surrounding the Mizbeach. Yechol af b'shchita. I would think that shchita is also included or subsumed under that requirement. Tamalomar v'shachat et ben ha-bakar lifnei Hashem. And the more important part of the pasuk is the second half of the pasuk, which is "Bikrivu bnei Aaron haKohanim mikabalah veilech mitzvat kuna." That bnei haKohanim only enter the fray when you have bikrivu. And we already learned earlier in the Masechta that bikrivu deals with both holacha and kabbalah. Question of why bikrivu is considered to be kabbalah. We saw two reasons earlier on in the Masechta as to why it is that akrava is considered to be kabbalat adam. That teaches you, by elimination, that if it's from Kabbalah and onwards that you need Kohanim, that means anything before Kabbalah does not require Kohanim, and that means Shkita does not require a Kohanim. Hu adin, because over here you see the limud in the bright days, you don't need a Kohen. It's not simply that you should have a Kohen and you can do something else. The limud in the bright days, Kohen is not required for Shkita at all, and that would permit anybody else to do it le chatchilo. The answer of the Gemara is Enochanami. The Gemara answers, our mission also thinks lechatchila you can do without a kohen. So why did it write it b'diavad? Because it had mentioned in that list, subsumed in that list are tmeim, who we prefer not to do shchita. Because we're worried about the fact that they might touch the basar. Because of the fact that they have this gzera, he wrote Shachatu, which is Lashon B'diavad, to deal with the fact that there's Tamei mentioned in the Mishnah. But for everybody else there, Lachatfila, they can do Shchita. Meaning that the truth is, they can do it, and they are mutar to do it, and the Mishnah warns, or the Tameim can do it, Uvajriyo Tameim no Gima Basar. As long as they don't touch the Basar, then it works. But what we have here is a Gzirat Chachamim that says, let's not have Tameim do this Lachatfila, it's too risky. There's a risk that he's going to come into contact with the Basar. And yes, if he doesn't come into contact with Basar, you have a kosher shchita. But nevertheless, we want to prevent these types of situations from coming up. Therefore, we say the chatchila, a tamei should not do it. So the language of bidiavad is used in the Mishnah because of that one member of the list, which is the tamei. B'tamei diavad shafir dami. And a tamei is allowed to do a diavad. So here you're making a distinction saying the chatchila, the tamei shouldn't do it. But bidiavad, if he did it, it's okay. Viriminu, is that really true? We have the pasuk that says, Visamach Vishachat. Samach Shachat is the juxtaposition of Smicha Lishchita in the pasuk, which also tells us the din that we know, Tekef Lishmicha Shchita, that immediately after you do Smicha on the animal, you have to do the Shchita afterwards. But there also is a Hekesh then drawn between them. Mas smicha b'tehorim, av shchita b'tehorim. Just like smicha has to be done with someone who is tahor, so too shchita has to be done with someone who is tahor. Gemara answers, midrabanan. That is, midrabanan, that we require shchita be done b'tehorim. Or in essence, that's the gzeira. That the chamim require that a tahor do it, because we don't want tameim getting involved. But b'diavad, it would be kasher. Gemara says, maishna smicha tichtiv b'fnei Hashem. What's the difference with regards to smicha that it says lifnei Hashem? Shchita nami aktiv lifnei Hashem. By shchita, we also find the terminology of lifnei Hashem. So why is it that you would make a distinction here between smicha and shchita? Whereby by smicha we say even bidyavad it is pasul, and you need teorim to do smicha, not meim. On the other hand, you say by shchita, b'chatchila, we don't want tameim to do it, but b'diavad, if a tamei did it, we would qualify the animal, it would be fine, it would be a valid korban. So if you tell me the reason that smicha requires teorim is because of lifnei Hashem, they must appear before Hashem, and in order to be lifnei Hashem, you need to be in the azara. And if you're tamei, you're not going to be in the azara, that should disqualify you from doing the smicha. Well, shchita also has the terminology of lifnei Hashem used by it, and therefore shchita should have the same din as smicha. So the way Rashi explains this is, the Gemara is asking, why is it that smicha midoraita, you require that it be done bifnim and tmeim are pasul, both chatzila and bidiavad, whereas by shchita, you're saying that midrabanan, it's only asur lechatzila, but bidiavad it's kasher, that means doraita it is qualified. So why is it that Doraita Smicha is disqualified by a Tamei, and Shchita is not disqualified? If you tell me it has to do with Lifnei Hashem, well, Lifnei Hashem is also mentioned with regards to Shchita. And if Shchita says Lifnei Hashem, why doesn't it have the same din as Smicha? Now the truth is that the word Smicha never has the word Lifnei Hashem appear by it. And that's some of the difficulty here. The Shchita has the word appear by it, and that's v'shachatet ben abakar lifnei Hashem. And that's what Rashi quotes here as the source for the pasuk, that Shchita has to be done lifnei Hashem. So Rashi says the answer is, shachatet ben abakar lifnei Hashem v'samach. The juxtaposition of samach to lifnei Hashem that is correlated with the Shchita is what generates the requirement that smicha be done lifnei Hashem. Since smicha must be done immediately before Shchita, and the Shchita is Lifnei Hashem, that means that the Smicha must also require Lifnei Hashem. And because a Tamei is not allowed into the Azara, that's why Smicha is disqualified with regards to a Tamei. But that it turns out to be a very interesting limud, because now you have a serious problem, which is that the source for Lifnei Hashem by Smicha is Shchita. And that only serves to strengthen the Gemara's question as to how can you differentiate between smicha and shchita if the whole source of the Lifnei Hashem by smicha derives from shchita? But you're telling me that smicha requires you to be in the azara, which you can't do, and therefore you're disqualified. Shchita, Lifnei Hashem over there, doesn't mean that you need to be in the azara, and doesn't disqualify you from doing the avoda. There are those that raise other possibilities of sources for the smicha Lifnei Hashem, but they are all difficult. One of them happens to be with the par Helim Dover Shel Tzibur dealt with in Gemara in Shavuot, where over there it says, "V'samchu zeknei ha'idah yideihem al rosh ha'par lifnei Hashem, v'shachatet ha'par lifnei Hashem." So over there you have smicha that is done lifnei Hashem, or the possibility that it comes from par Kohen Mashiach, which Rashi introduces later on in the Masechta on Daf Kuf Yutet, which is by Kohen Mashiach, it says, so there it says you bring the par al petach umayed lifnei Hashem v'samach. So there you have two possibilities of having smicha lifnei Hashem that is not derived from the word shchita. There's the Bali Tosafot note here, both of those are problematic because you're dealing with par kohen Mashiach and par lam davar shel tzibor, which are special korbanot. They are korbanot that are unique and a kedusha chamura. They would then dismiss that requirement as being unique to those korbanot, and it would be hard to extrapolate them to other korbanot. For that reason, in the end, the Bali Tosafot favor Rashi's explanation over here, and he says he thinks the Gemara later on is mukach kirashi, and that Rashi's explanation is correct. Although he does bring from the Torat Kohanim a possibility of it. So there's another way to do it again, with Lifnei Hashem right before Vesamach. There you would eliminate the problem of Shachat or Shkita being correlated with it. So there you have four different ways to learn it. Rashi's way, in the end, is what seemingly the Gemara focuses on. We'll see that upcoming. And the Baal Tosafot in the end seem to favor that explanation because the others are more difficult. The two from Paralam Davar Shel Tzibur, Bar Kohen Shel Mashiach, are problematic because of the inability to extrapolate them to other Korbanot. The one from Torat Kohanim is a possibility. Sar Gemara doesn't seem to quote that, but Torat Kohanim does quote that as the source. So now the Gemara wants to understand why should there be a difference between Smicha and Shchita. They both have a requirement of Lifnei Hashem. That means that both times you need the person to be in the Azara, and that's impossible for a Tameh. That should disqualify a Tameh, both for Smicha and for Shchita. The answer to the question is, Efshar David Sakin Aruka Vishachit. You can make a very long knife and do the Shchita. So here's the answer to your problem, which is, if you have a very long knife, you're not going to come into contact with the Behema. How do you do Shchita without coming into contact with the Behema? You have a very long knife. That solves your problem, because now you distance yourself from the Behema. That solves the problem, number one, of you being mitameh the Behema. Also solves your problem of you being outside the Azara. Lifnei Hashem means you can't be in the Azara. Both for Smicha and Shchita. But by Shchita, the only requirement is that the animal be Lifnei Hashem. There's no requirement that the Shochet be Lifnei Hashem. So I can solve the problem. I have the Shochet outside the area that is Kadosh, the Azara, and the Behema inside. And then you can do the Shchita with an Sakin Aruka, with the long knife. Then the Baal Tosafot questioned, how long was this knife? Because where is this individual standing that is able to do this shchita with a long knife? And the Baal Tosafot therefore go through different possibilities as to where he's standing and saying that, wow, this may not be possible, because if you have to be outside of the Ezrat Nashim, then the area by Shar Niknor is 135 amot away. That means you have to have a very long knife to be able to do something like this. The Baal Tosafot here point out that the gzerot that we're going to see upcoming in the Gemara about those that are tmeim, that normally are allowed on Har HaBayit, are precluded from going to Ezrat Nashim because they're not allowed to approach the Azara. They're not allowed to come close to the Azara. He says that that gzerah was uniquely associated with the Ezrat Nashim. And since the Ezrat Nashim was the main entrance way, the main way to enter into the Azara, that's where they were gozer that tmeim should not enter into that area, midrabanan at least, and that's why they were precluded. But that does not mean that they're precluded from other areas that approach the Azara. So if there are entrance ways from the side into the Azara, then they could be standing there and do the shkita over there. Even though they're samuch le'azara, that zera doesn't apply to them because it was uniquely associated with the Ezrat Nashim. So that's one way that the Baal Tosafot deal with that. But they are aware and make the point that that would still present maybe a problem if you are doing it with Kodshei Kodashim, which required tzafon. So depending on how far you think the tzafon goes, that's a discussion we had, and we'll discuss again, how extensive is tzafon? Is it just opposite the Mizbeach? Is it opposite the Mizbeach up to Leichal? Is it opposite the Mizbeach, the Heichal, and all the way up to the Ezrat Yisrael, Ezrat Kohanim? The bigger you make the area of the tzafon, the easier the solution to this problem becomes. The Rabbeinu Tam offers another possibility, which is, the Gzerot Chachamim that precluded an individual from getting close to the Azara is only in a case where you were Tameh before you enter. If you're Tameh before you enter, you're not allowed to enter the Ezrat Nashim. On the other hand, if you became Tameh while you were in the Ezrat Nashim, we don't force you to exit at that point. And that could be a scenario where he's standing by Shar Nikanor doing the Shchita because he's already in the Ezrat Nashim. And then he brings a last possibility, the suggestion by Rabbeinu Ephraim, that they did it on the Gagim of Aliyot. They did it on the roofs of the areas in the Azara, or on the Aliyot, the upper chambers, which were not Nitkadesh, that they were never made holy. And since they were never made holy, you could do it on the roof. But then he has to deal with other problems are, how do you get the Behema up there? Can you do the Shchita suspended, that we already discussed, whether that's permitted, not permitted, and all the other problems that you can have with standing up when the Behema is down on the floor of the Azara. But here he's giving you possibilities of how to come up with scenarios in which this is a practical solution that a long knife can do shchita. And here we have three different solutions or possibilities that the Baal Tosafot mentioned. Smicha, Nami Efshar, the Ma'aliyah Day, the Samich. Okay, why don't you do the same thing with regards to Smicha? Here you solve the problem of Shechita, where you can have the Shochet outside the Azara with a long knife, and therefore he's not in violation of Pnei Hashem. Why don't you do the same thing with the person who's doing Smicha? The Tamei can't enter into the Mikdash, so he'll be outside. He'll put his hands in and do the Smicha through putting his hands in. Kasavar, what you see from this is, Bi'ah b'miksat, Shma Bi'ah. That entering partially is considered being as if you entered fully, and you are now in violation of entering to the Azara while you are at Tamei. So with regards to Smicha, there is no solution. Since there's no solution, the Tamei is precluded from engaging in Smicha, even Bidiavad, because he can't do it. If he puts his hands in, he's Chayav, for entering into the Azara, Bitum'ah, which is a problem. And if we bring the animal out, you're not in the right place. You need Lifnei Hashem to do the Smicha. By Shechita, you have an ability to keep the animal inside Lifnei Hashem, the Shochet outside, and use, because you have a utensil that's allowing you to bridge that gap, which is the long knife. And that'll be the difference in the din of Shechita, where a Tamei can do it Bidiavad, not Bechatchila, versus the case of Smicha, where even Bidiavad, there's no permission to do Smicha with a Tamei. Rav Chisda Matnei Ipcho. Rav Chisda had the opposite version of this. Vesamach Veshachat. Mashchita bitahorim, af smicha bitahorim. So as opposed to the way we had it formulated in the Braita before, we said, just like smicha must be done bitahorim, and therefore shchita must also be done bitahorim, he starts from the other side and says, but just like shchita has to be done bitahorim, so too smicha has to be done bitahorim. Maishna shchita, why is it more obvious to you that shchita requires tahorim? Dichtiv lifnei Hashem, because it says lifnei Hashem there, Smicha namiktiv lifnei Hashem. So to over here, smicha is also lifnei Hashem. Where it says, efshar demayol yodei v'samich. You have a solution to the problem of smicha. He puts his hands in and does the smicha. Where it says, shchita nami efshar da'ovid sakin aruka v'shochit. By shchita, you also have the possibility of using a long knife. So now you have a solution to both problems. What's clear here from this version of Rav Chisda is that this writer then believes bia mixat lo shma bia, that when you go in partially, that's not called bia lazara, and that's why you're allowed to put your hands in, and that solves the problem. So what the Gemara is saying is, oh, shkita is clearly precluded because you have the din of lifnei Hashem. The Gemara says you have the same din by smicha of lifnei Hashem. The Gemara says no, by smicha you can solve the problem by just sticking your hands in, which isn't problematic. So the Gemara says shkita you can accomplish in the same way, just use a long knife and have the shochet outside, and it won't be a problem either. So if that's the case, why is there any more obvious to you that shechita requires tehorim versus smicha requiring tehorim? So my answer is, Amani Shimon HaTemanihi. It is authored, or this is attributed to Shimon HaTemanihi, to Tanya. Shechatet ben bakar lifnei Hashem, velo ha-shochet lifnei Hashem. That you have to do the ben bakar, the shechita, or the nishchat has to be lifnei Hashem, but the shochet doesn't need to be lifnei Hashem. This is the distinction we've been making all along, which is the object of the Shechita must be Lifnei Hashem, must have all these rules applied to it. The Shochet does not have any of these rules applied to him, and that's why he can stand outside and do the Shechita while the animal is inside. Now, Shimon HaTemani Omer, Minayin Shiru Yadav Shor Shochet Lifnei Min HaNishchat. How do you know that the hands of the Shochet must be further inward than that of the object of the Shechita? That the Shechita must be done lifnei Hashem. Shochet et ben bakar yehi lifnei Hashem. The one who's performing the Shechita also must be lifnei Hashem. The truth is, not just his hands have to be lifnei Hashem. The entire Kohen has to be lifnei Hashem. Technically, he doesn't have to really be inside of the Korban. It just means he must be inside the Azara. Just like the animal or the object of the Shechita has to be inside, so does the Shochet. And you can see that in Obet of the Shittim and Kubet set, where he has, there was a girsa, Shesheh Shochet Uben Abakar Lifnei Hashem. That the Shochet and the Ben Abakar have to be Lifnei Hashem, not necessarily that the Shochet has to be inside of the Ben Abakar Lifnei Hashem. Now, once you have that, then the bright, according to Rav Chisda, makes sense. You have no solution to the problem of a Shochet who is Tamei doing Shechita. You have no option now. He must be Lifnei Hashem. Since he must be Lifnei Hashem, he can't do that because he is a Tamei. Sakin Aruka is not going to work for you here because then you're outside and you're not Lifnei Hashem. So you don't have any solution. That's why a Tamei is precluded from engaging in shechita whatsoever. And then smicha, you want to learn from shechita. Smicha is different because smicha is the possibility of being done by just placing your hands in. And again, this version of the Braita would believe that bia b'miksat is lo shma bia. If that's the case, you can stand outside, put your hands in, and do the smicha, and that's why that is permitted. It would seem to be from this second limud that both shechita and smicha are min haTorah, although you could argue, similar to the previous case, that shechita is d'oraita, smicha is d'rabbanan. That's why shechita is asur even b'diavad, whereas smicha is asur only l'chatchila. And so had it not been for the hekesh between smicha and shechita, I would have thought smicha is mutar the gamre. The hekesh comes and tells me that either it's asur midoraita, or according to some, it means that it's asur midarabanan, and that the cross just nasmachta bialma. And the same question could be asked in the first version of the braita that we brought. And the Gemara said midarabanan, that we're thinking about a rabbinic ordinance with regards to shechita, or the restriction against doing shechita. Does that mean that only shechita is midarabanan, but smicha is doraita? That's the way Rashi learned it. Or does that mean that the Gemara thinks the whole thing is midarabanan and the cross is smachta bialma? But they want to understand why the Rabbanan differentiated between smicha and shechita. So you could ask in both of these scenarios whether the restriction is rabbinic in nature or doraita or Torah level. And the Gemara is trying to discuss or understand what's the difference between shechita and smicha here. And the truth is it really revolves around two factors. One factor is bia b'miksat shma bia, whether going in partially is considered to be going in totally. That will determine whether smicha can be done while you're standing outside. And the other issue is whether the shochet needs to be lifnei Hashem. And that will determine whether the shochet can be outside the Azara or must be inside the Azara. And that will be determinant in the halacha here with regards to a tameh. Now, Gemara says, Amar ula amar ish lakish. Tameh sheichnis yado lifnim loke. As we just discussed, bia memiksat shmei bia. Here, Ish Lakish tells you that a tameh that puts his hands into the Azara gets malkot. Shneamar b'chol kodesh lo tiga. So from that pasuk, and then we're going to spend time on this. We did this back in Makot and Daf Yudalit. We had Machloket, Reish Lakish, and Rabbi Yochanan over there about how to darshan the psukim. One of the psukim that we darshaned is that pasuk from the beginning of Parshat Tazria. It says, "Bechol Kodesh Lo Tiga, Ela Mikdash Lo Tavo," that you're not allowed to come into contact with any Kodesh and not go into the Mikdash. What Reish Lakish learns from that is that you may not enter the Mikdash even partially. So makeish bia the negia. And how do you know that the bia b'miksat here is what's being discussed by the pasuk? Because it correlates between negia and bia. Ma negia b'miksat shma negia. By definition, almost any negia is a negia b'miksat. You don't always touch the whole object that's there. You touch a portion of the object, and that makes the whole object tamei. So just like negia b'miksat is considered to be negia, because almost, again, by definition, negia is b'miksat. Av bia b'miksat, shma bia. So too, when it comes to entering impartially, it's also considered to be bia. And the pasuk says, v'la mikdash lo tavo. You may not enter in the mikdash, and therefore you're going to get malkot if you have bia b'miksat. Eitave Rabbi Hoshaya le'ula. Hoshaya says, is that really true? Mitzora shechal shmini shelo liot be'erev ha-pesach. You have a mitzora that's trying to go through the process of tahara. He has now done his 7 days michutz to machaneh, where he did all that was needed for a mitzora to become tahor. And now, on the 8th day, he only has one thing left, that is a mechusar kippurim. He needs to bring his korbanot on the 8th day. If that was all that was at issue here, we know that shochatim et pesach al mechusar kippurim. You're allowed to shech the Pesach on someone who is still mechusar kavara, still has to bring his korbanot, because he could bring his korbanot after the korban of Pesach, even though it's not proper to bring korbanot after the tamid shofen arvayim. But in this case, where you're dealing with a chiyuv karet and korban Pesach, we would give a dispensation for him to bring his korbanot as a mechusar kippurim. For that reason, if he was just a mitzora on his 8th day, waiting to bring his korbanot, we would shech the korban on his behalf, meaning he'd be part of a chabura that's eating the korban of Pesach, and he would discharge his obligation with that korban of Pesach, because our expectation would be that he's ready to eat by nightfall, because he'll bring his korban of mechusar kippurim on that 8th day. But he happened to run into a little pitfall, which is, v'ra keri bo bayom. He becomes a Baal Keri on that day. Erev Pesach, eighth day of Tahara for the Mitzorah, becomes a Baal Keri. Vitaval. He goes to the mikveh and makes himself into a Tvol Yom. So now, by the time you get to the end of the day, you're going to have Heref Shemesh, which will then eliminate the problem of Baal Keri. And if he brings his korbanot as a Mitzorah, he'll get rid of the problem of Mechuser Kippurim. He can eat from the Pesach at nightfall. A problem is, how does he bring the korbanot if he is a Tvol Yom? And that's exactly what the Braita says, Amru Chachamim. Even though no other Tvul Yom is allowed to enter into the Ezrat Nashim, or is not even allowed to enter onto Har Habayit. Nevertheless, Ze Nichnas, this Tvul Yom gets a special dispensation. Mutav Yavo Asei, Sheyesh Bo Karet, V'yidcha Asei, Shein Bo Karet. It's better that you have the Asei of Korban HaPesach that involves a Karet, because if you don't do the Korban HaPesach when you're qualified to do it, you are Chayav Karet. So that's a strong assay. It's an assay associated with Karet. That assay should come along and dismiss or remove the problem of another assay, which is V'yishalchu min ha-machaneh, that they must be sent out of the machaneh. Those that are Tmeim must be pushed out of the machaneh. And since this individual is subject to V'yishalchu min ha-machaneh, they should not be in Machaneh Leviyah, which is the entire Har HaBayit, including Ezrat HaNashim. They should not be there. They are subject to the Aseh of being sent out of the Machaneh. But now you have an Aseh versus an Aseh. Which one should trump? Should it be the Aseh of Korban HaPesach? Should it be the Aseh of being thrown out of the Machaneh? Right? That tells you that you give precedence to the Aseh of Korban HaPesach because it has Karet involved with it, and not the Aseh of Yishalchu min HaMachaneh because there's no Karet associated with that. Even though a Baal HaMikdash B'tum'ah, someone who enters the Mikdash B'tum'ah is Chayav Karet. That's only if you enter into the Azara. If you don't enter into the Azara, there's no Chiyuv Karet. Outside of the Azara area, that's only a Mitzvah Aseh She'ein Bo Karet. And so what the Braita says is, give precedence to the Korban Pesach and you can go ahead and do this. As far as the Korban HaPesach is concerned, he doesn't have to enter at all. He does it through Shlichim that bring his Korban HaPesach. The problem is that he has to become tohor from being a mitzorah. And a mitzorah is mechuser kippurim. If he does not bring his korbanot on that eighth day, he will not be tohor to eat the korban pesach that night. He has to bring the korbanot. Now, send the korbanot. One little problem. A mitzorah has an additional requirement above other bringers of korbanot, which is he has to have the dam of the asham be placed on his thumb, his big toe, and his ear, as well as the Loga Shemen, he has to have the Shemen placed on those same areas. So in order for him to do that, he must be adjacent to the Azara, because the Korban or the Dama Korban can't leave the Azara. The Loga Shemen cannot leave the Azara, they'll be Psulim. So he has to get himself right up against the Azara, and that is in the entranceway called Shar Nikanor. Shar Nikanor is the eastern entrance to the Azara, and the Gemara notes that it was never Nitkadesh. Inside of the actual frame of Shar Nikanor, they were not mikadeshit with Kedushat Azara in order to allow for the Mitzorah to enter there. At least the Mitzorah is Mechuser Kippurim, can't enter into the Azara. He can enter into Ezrat Nashim or into Har HaBayit. So they allowed him to get right up to the Azara by entering into Shar Nikanor. And then he has a special dispensation to put his hand, his foot, and his ear into the Azara to have the Avodah done by him. But that's as long as he is just a mitzora. But now that he's a Tvul Yom, he can't even go onto Har HaBayit. Forget about getting up to the Azara in the Ezrat Nashim. He's precluded from Har HaBayit. Rashi says that's because this is premised on the understanding that a Tvul Yom le'zav is kezav dami. If you're a Tvul Yom le'zav, you still have the status of a Tumat Zav. It may be a degraded Tumat Zav. You still have Tamei Tumat Zav, which is Yotzei Migufo, and therefore you cannot enter onto Har HaBayit as a Tvul Yom Zav. Baal Keri, as we know, comes from a riboy of the Pasuk by Zav, and that teacher Baal Keri has the same din. So a Baal Keri, Tvul Yom, is still a Baal Keri, or still in the world of Zav, and he won't be able to enter onto Har HaBayit. What the Braita says is, in this case, we will allow him to do it, even though normally he couldn't enter to take care of his Mechuser Kippurim by Mitzorah. In this one instance, we will allow him to do it because you have a Korban HaPesach that has an assay with the Karet. You have an assay to send him out of the Machaneh. the assay of karet associated with the Korban Pesach overrides the assay associated with being thrown out of the machane. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Dvar Torah, afilu assay ingbo. Rabbi Yochanan says, there's not even an assay over here. Forget about, there's no love. There's not even an assay midoraita. Shenemar, vayamod Yoshafat, bikal Yehudam Yerushalayim, bebeit Hashem lifnei achatzer achadasha. Yoshafat is standing before Kahal Yehudam Yerushalayim. That seems to be the reason that we believe that there was a gezerah put in place here, because it was done in the presence of Kahal Yehudam Yerushalayim. And that, bebeit Hashem lifnei achatzer achadasha, in front of the new courtyard, my chatzer achadasha. What does it mean, a new courtyard over here? And Rabbi Yochanan shechitshu ba'divarim. They came up with a new law, a new takana, a new gzeirah. Bamru, tvoyom al yikanes l'machane l'viya. That tvoyom is not allowed to enter into machane l'viya. The truth is that it's not machane l'viya because all of Har HaBayit is considered to be machane l'viya. Here we're only saying that he can't enter into Ezrat Nashim. It's a much more limited scope. The Bali Tosafot say, how do you know that? How do you know that it's only speaking about the Ezrat Nashim? He says, Yishlamar, Damash lo chitshu al ha-chatzer. Because the Pasuk says that they made a chiddush about the chatzer. The chatzer, hainu Ezrat Nashim. The chatzer, what's known as the chatzer of the Mikdash, is Ezrat Nashim, based on the Pasuk in Yechezkel. And therefore, it's uniquely associated with Ezrat Nashim and not all of Har HaBayit. And in addition, it's uniquely associated with the Tvoyom and other tumult, because the Tvoyom is the only one where we have this restriction that's only about the Ezrat Nashim, as opposed to Tamei Meit, where he's also precluded from the Cheol that is around the Mikdash, special area or buffer zone that's around the Mikdash. So therefore it can't be speaking about Tumat Tamei, it must be speaking about Tvoyom, and it has to be speaking about uniquely the Ezrat Nashim. Because with regards to Machane Shechina, Machane Levia, and Machane Yisrael, the rules are that by Machane Shechina, no Tamei can enter, no matter what Tuma, that is the equivalent of the Azara. Machane Levia, people who have Tuma, Yotzei Migufan, cannot enter into that area of Machane Levia, but Tamei Meitz and Tamei Sheretz can enter into Machane Levia. The evidence the Gemara brings to that is that Moshe Rabbeinu had Atzmot Yosef with him. Not only can a Tamei Meit come, a Meit can be in Machane Levia. Machane Yisrael, anyone can enter with the exception of a Mitzora, who has to be outside the Machane. So those are the three different areas for Tuma. They are equated in Yerushalayim to the Azara, which is the Azarat Yisrael, Azarat Kohanim, where it is considered to be Machane Shechina. Har HaBayit is considered to be Machane Levia. And then Machane Yisrael is considered to be the whole Yerushalayim, inside the walls of Yerushalayim. So that's the equivalent. So now if you were speaking about Machane Levia in general, then you would speak about all of Har HaBayit. The fact that it mentions the word Chatzer shows that the Gzeirah was associated only with the Ezrat Nashim. So the Chiddush was, or the new din was, that its full Yom is not allowed to enter into the Ezrat Nashim, which is actually what would precipitate the problem over here. But Rabbi Yochanan is saying is, Tvul Yom is only a Gzeirah Derabanan, it's not even a din doraita. Rashi seems to indicate over here that Rabbi Yochanan is arguing. Even though Rabbi Yochanan is an Amora, he's arguing on the Braita. You have the Braita telling us that a Tvul Yom entering into the Ezrat Nashim, or probably onto Har HaBayit, is in Isra Seh. And you have Rabbi Yochanan coming out and saying it's only in Isra Derabanan and only on Ezrat Nashim. So it seems to me that Rabbi Yochanan is arguing on the Braita. Even though Rabbi Yochanan is an Amora, you can see that in Rashi, where Rashi says Rabbi Yochanan believes, Kasar Tvul Yom Dezav, Lav Kezav Dami. He solves the problem by simply saying that a Tvul Yom of Zav does not have the same status as a Zav. Therefore, he's no longer deemed to be Tumai Yotzei Migufo. Tumai Zeni Yotzei Migufo, you're allowed to go into Machane Levia, you're allowed to go into Har HaBayit. So the machloke between Rabbi Yochanan and the author of the Braita is whether a Tvul Yom of Zav is deemed to be a Zav. The Braita says yes. So therefore, a Tvul Yom has precluded me Doraita from Har HaBayit. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, no, he's not considered to be a Zav. And therefore, he's not precluded from Har HaBayit. Ezrat Nashim, yeah, but that's only a Din Derabonon. The difficulty you have with that is, why is Rabbi Yochanan and Amora arguing on a Tana? So, what you have to say is, either there are other Tanaim that back up this position of Yochanan, and the Balei HaTosafot bring that from other places that say, Atishapir de Plukta de Tanaehi. This issue of Tvul Yom Zav, is he considered to be a Zav or not, is a Machloket Tanaim that we find in other places. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan has ample Tanakh backing for his position, and therefore we don't have to worry about the fact that he's arguing a braita. The Baal Yad Tosfot themselves seem to favor that Rabbi Yochanan's not arguing on the braita, but rather explaining the braita. And you can see that in the top of the Baal Yad Tosfot, Rabbi Yochanan, the frushe braita ka'ati. He's coming to explain the braita, v'lav de'l'ifluge, the Rabbi Yochanan lav tano. He's not arguing on the braita, he's not a tano. And therefore he's coming to explain the braita. Teda, de'im, de'oraita, and k'nei oles sormi petach harabait, k'shol zeh ma'kane leviyah. And the point being that it's only spoken about the problem of Ezrat Nashim and not about Harabayit because it's a din derabbanan and not a din deoraita. The bigger question in Rashi, which is raised by the Baal Yad Tosafot, is that the Bright only quotes a Isser Aseh about sending someone out of the Machaneh who is Tameh. The truth is that sending someone out of the Machaneh is not just an Aseh, there's also a Lav, which is v'lo yitamu et machanehem, that you're not allowed to make the machaneh tamei. So it's not only an assay, it's an assay and a lav. Why does the braita ignore the lav? And that's what Baal Yad Tosafot point out. If you believe tful yom dezav is kezav tamei, and he has a stance like a zav, not only is there an assay to throw him out, there's also a lav about him being there. And then you can't say the assay of Korban Pesach, that's a karet, overrides both the assay and the lav, because that's not true. And I say cannot be doka and I say in a lav. So what you have to say then is that he doesn't believe that tvo yom zav kizav domi. And then that works out much better with Rabbi Yochanan being the explanation for the braita and telling you that this Isser here is only an Isser de Rabbanan. And that's why there's only an Isser assay that we're dealing with. And it's an Isser assay de Rabbanan. But we're not dealing with a belief, or at least the town of the braita doesn't believe tvo yom zav kizav domi. Because then you would be in a different world. You'd be in a world where you'd also have an assay and a lav. If you just say, tvul yom tzav lav kizav domi, like Rabbi Yochanan holds, and the Isser is only an Isser de Rabbanan, then you can understand now why the Bright is only speaking about an assay, really an assay de Rabbanan, that is being suspended for the purposes of accomplishing the Korban Pesach in this instance. Or as the Shittu Mekubetzet in Od Vav says, the real meaning is, Klomar lo hemidu divrehem b'makom karet, that the chachamim didn't keep their gzera in place when it's coming up or in conflict with a chiyuv karet, and so therefore they suspended their gzera for an aseh sheyeshbo karet. The difficulty with that position is then how do you explain in the braita the words afo pi shein tvul yom acher nichnas ze nichnas, even though no other tvul yom can go in, this tvul yom can go in. So the explanation will be that this is uniquely said about a tvul yom that is a mechuser kapara, and not by any tvul yom. I mean, that the dispensation is only granted to a tvul yom who is mechuser kapara. It's not granted to any other tvul yom. And in addition, if you think that Rabbi Yochanan is coming to explain the braita, then why did the braita pick the example of tumat keri and tvul yom of a tumat keri? Any tvul yom could have been chosen in this case. But it doesn't say near the furish to the buta nakat. He picked Baal Keri as an example because there's a bigger chiddush there. V'ra'ah Keri ta'af agav de mishtalei chutz l'shtei machanot hitiru lo mishum pesach. Even though a Baal Keri normally is sent out of both machaneh shechina and machaneh leviyah, unlike tumat meit and unlike tumat sheretz, was only sent out of machaneh shechina, not out of machaneh leviyah, not out of harabayit. Nevertheless, that tvoyom is still allowed to come all the way up to the Azara to perform it. So true, any Tvul Yom could do it, but the Chiddush is here, even a Tvul Yom of Baal Keri can do it, even though normally he has a much stricter regulation that's associated with him. The Baal Yad Tosafot see Rabbi Yochanan as explaining the Braita rather than arguing on the Braita. Either way, what you see is, V'yamart, B'ya B'mikzat Shma B'ya, if you hold like Ula Rich Lokish, that B'ya B'mikzat is considered B'ya, Heichem Al Yadei, the Behonot. How does he put his hands into the Azara for Bonot to get the Tahara? If he's a Tvul Yom, that is Tuma, that cannot enter into the Azara. He has no dispensation to enter into the Azara because a Metzora, Bitumato, has a right to put those parts into the Azara. But now that he's a Tvul Yom for Baal Keri, he no longer has that dispensation. Ide, v'ide, asei sheyesh bo kareto. Now you're faced with a situation in which you have an asei of karet to bring the Korban Pesach, and even a say of karet to be thrown out of the area, and a tamei not allowed to enter. Because now, when you enter into the Azara, I said before that entering Betumah into the Azara is a Chiyuv Karet. Other areas, no. But the area of the Azara is already Karet. If you have an Asev Karet against an Asev Karet, why should the Pesach override? Amalei Mitunach. He says, I'll answer you from your own position. Meaning that Ula says back to Rabbi Shaya, I can show you that my position is valid based on what you just brought. Shiny Mitzora, Ho Behutar Litzarato, Hutar Likirio. So he says that there is a migo in a sense here, that since the mitzora is given a dispensation to enter bitumato, that overrides his tumat mitzora, that will also override his tumat keri. Meaning that you're given the right to override in this situation because there's already a dispensation allowing tumat to go in. Mali tumat mitzora, mali tumat vuyom, they're both precluded from the azara. If you already allow the Tumat Mitzora to go in, you may as well also allow the Tumat Keri to go in. And that's why there's a special dispensation in this situation. And at the Baal Tosafot point over here, how does he know that that's the case? Because it says in the Braita, Bira Keri Bo Bayom. He's a Baal Keri on that day itself. Mashma Dafka Bo Bayom Tiyatsa Shad Heter De Tzarat. It was on that day where he had the heter of the tzarat that he then became a Baal Keri. Because of Meimar. And therefore you can say, Mitok Shutar L'Tzarato, Hutar L'Kirio. Since he already has the dispensation to deal with his tzarat, he can now deal with the Keri that came afterwards. Aval Me'etmol, had he become a Baal Keri yesterday, that wouldn't have been the case. Because yesterday he didn't have the heter of Mitzora, and he wouldn't be able to then override the problem of Keri. On the other hand, if you think that Bia Mitzot is not a problem at all, then even yesterday, it's about Keri, he should be able to then come and put his hands in to form the necessary Tara for the Mitzora. The fact that the Braita limits it to the last day and seeing Keri on the eighth day shows you that the Heter is coming because of Mitok Mishtari Lezeh, Mishtari Lezeh. Because you have a Heter for Tzorat, it overrides also the Keri, but not because Bia B'Mitzat Losh Mei Bia. Amar Rav Yosef, Kasabar Ula. So Rav Yossi said, let's extrapolate this concept of Ula, and then you come up with the following din. Ruban Zavim Benasu Tumei Meitim. If the majority of the Klal Yisrael are Tumat Zav, and then they become Tumei Meit. So with regards to Korban HaPesach, the right to do a Korban HaPesach Bitum'ah Bitzibur is only granted with regards to Tumat HaMeit. It's not true of Tumat Zav. In a case where the Rov HaTzibur Tumeim Tumat Zav, then the minority of people who are Shirim or Torim will do Pesach Rishon, and the remainder of them will be Nitcha the Pesach Sheni, although you might have a problem because of whether it's Sibur can be Nitcha the Pesach Sheni, but it's clear that they can't do Pesach Rishon Bitumah when they're a Zavin. So originally they were Zavin, but then they also became Tamei Meitim. So now let us invoke this principle of Ula and say, Ho behutro l'tumatan, hutro l'zivatan. So just like because their Tumata Meit will be overridden and allowed to do the Pesach Bitumah because of their Tmei Meitim, being Tmei Meitim, let it also override their fact that they are Tmei Tumat Zav. Which is that if you're going to get a dispensation for one thing, we said it allows you the dispensation for other things. So now if you get cleared for Tumah because of Tmei Meit, clear also for Zav. So it's Baye, Rabbi Yosef's student says to him, Midomi. Well, how can you compare the case? Tuma ishtare, ziva lo ishtare. In that case, the tuma was permitted, the ziva was never permitted. Meaning that the tumata zav preceded the tumata mate. So now, when you go in and release them from the problem of tumata mate, that's all you did. You released them from the tuma of tumata mate. You can't go then and then retroactively say it also releases them from the tumata zav. That's differentiated from our case over here, whereby he was first a mitzora. And first and foremost, the Mitzorah on his eighth day, where he already has the Heter to put his hands in. Then he became a Baal Keri, we can say there. Now that he has a Heter for Mitzorah, he also overrides the Keri. Because the Heter of the Mitzorah preceded. Over here, you have the Tumata Zab, which is a disqualifying factor first. And then only afterwards, you have the Tamei Meit that's sitting on top of that. The Tamei Meit you can eliminate. But that doesn't mean it goes back and also eliminates the Tumata Zab. So, Dilma Hochi Kamarmar. Baye says to his Rebbe, it doesn't say Amalei again, the Bach takes it out because it's still a Baye speaking. What he's doing is trying to remind his Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef, who forgot a lot of his learning when he fell ill. He's trying to remind him, maybe this is what you heard. Hachi kamar mar, maybe this is what you meant. Ruban's Tmei Meitim. If they were originally, Rov HaTzibur was Tmei Meitim. Benasu Zavim, and then only afterwards do they become Tamei Tumatzav, Hov Hutru L'Tumatan, Hutru L'Zivatan. So then you have the dispensation in effect before you ever become Tamei Tumatazav. Since they were already Tamei Meitim up front, that was not a disqualifying factor for them. They actually would have brought the Pesach B'Tuma, because Tumatameit is overridden by the Tzibur. So now that you already have that dispensation in place, let us say, just like Tumatameit is waived over here, the subsequent Tumatazav should also be waived in this case, and then it would be parallel to our case of Ula. Amarlei in. He says, yes, that is what I heard. Amarlei, by a response, and says, Akati lo dami, you can't compare the cases. Mitzora heterohu hov ishtare ishtare. The terminology that we used before, Mitzora is a heter gamur. It's heter gamur because he has to do this in order to become Tahor from his being a Mitzora. Any Mitzora that's in this position has to do that. Now, hov ishtare ishtare. Once you are Hutra, you take away any problems of Tuma in order to facilitate the Tarata Mitzora, that heter can also then be applied to other items. Tuma duchuyahi, laha idchai, laha lo idchai. On the other hand, when it comes to Tuma b'tzibur, machloket in the Gemara in Yoma, Gemara in Yoma has a machloket as to whether Tuma hutra b'tzibur or Tuma duchuya b'tzibur. Whether Tuma is totally eliminated when it comes to the tzibur, or is Tuma only duchuya? It's suspended in the case. We'll have number of nafkuminot, most of which are around whether we attempt to do it as tahor as possible. If you say Tumat Chuya B'Tziboris, means there's a dispensation here that's limited in scope. We have to do it, so we will allow you to do what is necessary to do it B'Tuma. But anything you can do B'Tahara, you should do B'Tahara. If you say Tuma Hutra B'Tzibor, that means that there's no din of Tuma here whatsoever. That means you can do whatever you want. You can have Kohanim Tmeim do it. You can have anything be Tamei. The Tuma is not even a consideration in the processing of the Korban. Now here, what Abaye is saying is, Tuma dechuya mitzibor. And that differentiates it from Hutra of the Mitzora. By the Mitzora, you say it's Hutra, Hove Ishtari Ishtari. Once you get this dispensation which wipes out the Isur completely, it also has the power then to wipe out other Tumot in the same stroke. On the other hand, if you say Tuma dechuya mitzibor, that means bekoshi. With difficulty, we're allowing you to do this. We suspend whatever item you need to get it done. But that's it. It's a limited scope of heter. It's only duchuya. We'll see Rashi says over here that the difference between duchuya and ahutra is, klomar, bekoshi nidchet etzla. By the Korban Pesach, it's with difficulty we allow you to do bituma. Dichuy ba'alma ayidei nesiyat avon shetzitz miratzeh. It's not that it's mutar. It's not that it's okay. It's just that the tzitz covers you in this scenario. It takes care of this situation. Below the heter gamur, but it's not a heter gamur to say tumatameit doesn't exist or it's not a problem here at all. So based on that, he says, there's a distinction. By mitzora, where it's putra, there you can say that it can carry other tumot along with it and be matter them. In the case of the Korban Pesach, which just a suspended tuma, and with difficulty we're suspending it, you can't take that and extrapolate that to take other tumult along with you. And therefore, your extrapolation of the din of Ula is incorrect, because the case of Pesach of Tumat Meit and Tumat Zavim is different than the case of Mitzora that is a Baal Keri. Amarle Rova, Rova now argues on Abaye's logic and says, Adarava, just the opposite, Ipcha Mistabro, just the opposite makes sense. Mitzora, Heteruhu, Laha Ishtare, Laha Lo Ishtare. Mitzora is not overriding Tuma in any way. When you say something is Hutra, Hutra means the Isur was never said in this circumstance. For instance, if you said Tuma Hutra B'Tzibor, it means that the din of Tuma was never applied in the case where the Rova B'Tzibor was Tamei bringing a Korban Pesach. The din of Tuma are not covering that scenario. And therefore, it's Hutra Legamre, it's Mutra Legamre. Similarly, over here, with regards to a Mitzora who has to put his thumbs and his toes and his ear into the Azara, over there it's not that he has Dechuya, he's allowed to do it. It's that there was never a restriction against somebody of that standing doing that because it's Heter Gamur. So that doesn't mean it's overriding Tuma. It's just the Isur doesn't exist. So if the Isur doesn't exist, then that is true for Mitzora, Ha'alo Ishtari. For anything else, that has no implications. You're not overriding Tuma. There's no Isur. You can't say that about Tvul Yom, the Valkyrie. There still is an Isur. Where do you have an overriding provision that allows you then to go in? On the other hand, Tuma, Dechuyahu. Malichad Dechuyah, Malichte Dechuyot. On the other hand, if you bring the Korban of Pesach, is Tuma Dechuyah Betzibor, that is exactly what's happening here. You are overriding the Isur of Tuma. The Isur of Tuma still exists, and you're overriding it. Well, if you can override it for the Tumat Amei, you should be able to override it for the Tumat Zav as well. So what you see from this is Rava thinks the logic is just the opposite. In cases Mutra, there's no dispensation. The Isra never applied to this case. So therefore you can't say or extrapolate it to say, well, it's Mutra here, it should be Mutra for other Tumot. The other hand, but Chuyabit Sibor, which is all about a dispensation, all about a, quote, a Bidiyavad situation, where we allow you to override the Tuma, the Isur that's still in place. So if you're allowed to override that Isur, let it, you override another Isur. And therefore the logic should dictate the opposite conclusion that you're making. And by the case of Tuma Techuyah Betzibor, it should provide that dispensation the way that Rav Yosef stated it. So it's not clear here when Rava argues over here, is he only arguing on Abaye's logic of the application of Ula's din? Or is he fundamentally arguing on Ula about this idea of that hutar litzarat is hutar lekeryo, and then you would have to be of the opinion that bia mitzat lo shma bia in order to allow the mitzora to conduct himself in this manner. So it's not clear here whether Rava is really fundamentally arguing on Ula or just saying that Abaye's dismissal of what Rav Yosef said was incorrect, but not that he argues fundamentally on what Ula said. Michlau, and the Gemara concludes here, the tarvayu sfirlo tumad dukuya bibitzibor. It's clear here from Abaye and Rava is that they believe that when it comes to the Tzibor, meaning Rava Tzibor and Tamei, that Tuma is Bechuya Betzibor. Because both of their logical arguments are premised on the fact that Korban HaPesach, when the Rav B'nai Yisrael, Tmeim, Tmei Meit, they are Bechuya Betzibor, and that's what allows them the right to bring the Korban HaPesach. Okay, we're going to stop here, two lines down on the top of Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph.